If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke and chapter 8. Luke and chapter 8. The context of the text that we are looking at this morning has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ traveling around, teaching from town to town the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we know very well that Jesus was a great teacher. And being a great teacher, he attracted a lot of people to listen to his preaching. But there are also critics that attended his meeting, that followed him to find out, what is this man talking about? Is he bringing something new, something they don't know, or is he telling them the truth? And in this particular scenario, people are being healed, people are getting saved, but there are also those who come and just get excited to hear what is going on. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ as not just a great teacher, as God, he knows the hearts of the people, and he knows who is listening and who is not listening. Immediately he dashes into an illustration. He brings them an illustration of a farmer going to plant seed. And we want to pick it from verse 4 to 15. He picks that particular illustration and he says something to do with the farmer. The nature of the parable that he gives them is that something they are very familiar about. It is to do with farming. At that time they did not farm like the way they do these days, or we do these days with tractors and things like that. They just dug the ground, they spread the seed, and the seed just fell wherever. And the time came for the seed to germinate. And then the Lord Jesus Christ tells them about four types of soils. And in giving out those four types of soils, he's doing something that the parable is meant to do. And I want us to look at what does it mean when you hear a parable. Particularly at a time like this one, where we are learning how to search the scriptures for our own good. We are getting enough information. We are getting a lot of examples of false teachers. And some of you are disappointed because some of your heroes are being thrown down. And you're wondering, who do we remain with? But there should be time for us, dear friends, to see where this parable is leading us. A time to think. A time to search the scriptures. If Benhin is no longer on the list, and we know Benhin because of the TV, but there are many others that we didn't even know that we are knowing, then go to the scriptures. Why do we have all these big examples? We are coming back to something that is very small and personal. And that very small thing and personal is from verse 8 to 10. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the end of verse 8, says, "He who has ears, hear. If you have an ear, hear what the Bible is saying." His disciples, actually Mark puts it very nicely, he says, when they went to a lonely place, when they were alone, they called the Lord Jesus Christ aside and said, "Lord, you gave a parable there where there was a crowd. We did not understand. What is the meaning of this parable? What does it mean when you gave out those four soils? We didn't know where it was leading to." And then the Lord says, "Okay. The understanding of these secrets, the mysteries has been given to you. But others, they don't know. Friends, we are privileged as New Testament believers. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have church history to look to and learn from. Are we together?
Yes.
Because we have all these, we should be better believers. We should know what the Bible says. Actually, something was quoted yesterday, but a friend of mine puts it in this way. If you have been in the Bible preaching church for at least 10 years, and in the 11th year you hear something new, most likely it's heresy. What you should hear is the idea of your heart being nourished, your mind opened, your understanding made firm, that the things you knew from when you were young is now being solidified by the truth that you keep getting and getting. But most of the times we rush for the new things. And these new things distract us from the truth. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he has given that parable, now comes to give an explanation of the parable. And I want us to just highlight a few things from that explanation of the parable that he gives. The explanation that he calls us to is that we must think. Because sometimes if you are not thinking when he has given out that parable, you may even blame the seed. Why did the seed fall on the roadside? You may even blame the farmer. How can he just throw things anyhow? But when the Lord says the seed is the word, is there anything wrong with the word? The answer is no. It's pure. It's holy. It's true. It's reliable. So nothing wrong with the seed. But many times we feel, or the feeling we had yesterday, we feel, we imagine, it is the seed. That's where they tell you, if you're not healed, it's your fault. Your faith is small. They blame you. But friends, it's not the seed. It is the soil. The Lord's emphasis is on the soil. And because it is on the soil, he is talking about you and me who are recipients of the seed. What are we doing with the word that we are getting? Somebody said information is for transformation. Is it transforming you or not? So the Lord is calling us to think, to revisit our opinions. The idea is like that of in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, the Lord tells us about prayer. He says, some people think they have an opinion when they repeatedly go through certain words. They chant them, they shout them. They are thinking their opinion is, that's when God is going to hear us. But thinking is to revisit my opinion. How else shall we think clearly? It is nothing else but through the scriptures. Go back to the word and find out how my thinking should be. The scriptures are very clear. Our minds must be transformed and renewed so that we can think clearly as far as the word of God is concerned. Friends, if there are people that should think clearly, it is us in our generation when there is a lot of information flowing out. Particularly with technology and TV. Somehow the power of media is so big to a point where it has stopped us from thinking. The moment you see it on TV, it's gospel truth. It is not true. Because even on TV, they can lie. And we have seen many items on TV. Later on, they won't even say we apologize, but it has passed. It is not true. So when we see people preach on TV, it is not true. But the Lord, in giving the parable of the sower or the soils, He's asking His listeners to think, particularly the disciples who have spent time with Him, who have heard Him teach, and we already know that His audience, some of them were not listening. He's calling them to think and think and think. Like I've already said, thinking is going to help us if we think biblically. What does it say? What does the word say? How should I apply this particular truth? Thinking, dear friends, demonstrates commitment. When you think over things, you are committed to it. When you think of things, you are applying yourself to it. When the Lord says, this is the meaning of the parable, look at verse 15. But the good seed on good soil stands for those who are noble and good hearts, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. What is that? I want to suggest to you that noble people think through. Have you heard somebody make a statement to say, that one speaks without thinking? They are not actually praising you when they say you speak without thinking. When you think through, you are evaluating. You are committed. Friends, I need not to remind you, but by now we should be thinking of our great salvation that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Should somebody surely change that salvation and make it cheap? Should an individual stand up and say, now you believe in Jesus Christ, yes, it's not enough. Think of something else. Works. No. When our Savior died on the cross, He says, it is finished. It is done. You and me are saved if we believe in the Son of God. But many of us are not even thinking through that great salvation. That's where we go to places where they say, now there's deliverance. You were saved. Now come for deliverance. I don't know where. How come we are buying these things easily? Think, friends, what is this deliverance? Who is going to deliver you? It's a human being. And friends, it's sad that even at our time and age, these guys are having markets. By now, no one should attend their meetings because we know it's false. But the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to think. And think biblically. Thinking does not just demonstrate commitment, or it demonstrates love. Those of you that sometimes leave home to go to Lusaka and come back, or those of you from Lusaka come back here, and then you don't call your wife, they are going to say, were you even thinking of me? But if you call back, I was also thinking about you. So you love me. When we think biblically, it means we love the scriptures. We engage with the scriptures. We enjoy thinking about what the Lord has done for us, what we shall be, and what we are. We are children of God. The Apostle Paul, to the Philippians, he tells us what we should be thinking about. That which is noble, that which is good. Friends, there is something that we should get our minds to, that we should love. And again, like the information we are getting here, when we go back, can we think about these things? We know how the Lord Jesus Christ gave an interpretation of the parable that we are just considering. He says, those by the roadside, immediately they go out, the seed is taken away. Are we going to be like that? To a point where the moment this conference is done, then our discussions about PF comes in, about UPND, about politics, about soccer comes in, and forget about the danger that we are in of false prophets, false teachers. Let's engage our minds to read. Let's evaluate what is the next generation going to be if we allow these wrong teachings to continue sweeping our nation. And unfortunately, those of us in Africa, the idea of copying is too much. We are just importing everything. Brother Peters apologized on behalf of the Americans for sending these things to us. But we should also reject them. The apology was received. But the recipients are us. And we are the ones returning these things. And even the African also adds one and multiplies them. We have seen the attires that these people are wearing. They don't wear them there, but here. And Papa, they have bodyguards, they have what? We should engage our minds that we love the scriptures and we need to live according to what the scriptures teach us. But secondly, the Lord was warning us of false conversions. The Lord was warning his disciples of false conversions. At least out of the four soils, three of them, there was a germination. The seeds that fell by the road was quickly taken away by birds. The devil took away the word. But the one on rock soil, the one on the thorns, and the one on good soil, there was a germination on all the three. And friends, two of those was false germination. And we know these false conversions. These false conversions come in many ways. They come in way of maybe people being led in a sinner's prayer. All of you say these words after me and you say, oh, you are saved. False conversion. Others falling down. Oh, because I fell, I am saved. False conversion. Others, it is just because you carried the Bible for the papa. Others, because you, something was done for you, you were prayed for and you were healed. False conversions. And we know, counting, so many people got saved. Wait a minute. Allow that germination to come out. Oh, the Lord said something. He says there's time when the sun rises up and brings the heat. Who is going to stand? Oh, then he said, no, there's something that chokes that germinated seed. We know the pressures of this world that choke us. And I'm tempted to give the practical examples here. One gets saved today. The following day, the girlfriend shows up at Maria Church. So, I fetch Rishan. My dear. For you, it's okay. That church, Pidia. Forced germination. Yesterday, somebody stood and went through a sinner's prayer. The following day, he's at work and he sees a bunch of money. You are saved. But they're going to say, okay, this number is zero, but in the watch also you have 8. And you change figures and the money becomes yours. It was forced conversion. And friends, we know very well how also the American church has taught us about numbers. For us, we counted numbers here. Oh, how big is your church? Numbers. Some of the people that sit in our churches, pastors, they are not there. But we count them. Their hearts are somewhere else. That's why in the afternoon, in the evening, they go to attend a deliverance meeting. Forced conversion. So the Lord was saying, even when there's that germination, the seed is coming up, wait a minute. That which is genuine is going to grow and mature. Oh, the Apostle Paul again tells us, let's grow towards maturity. We always hear these examples of babies being born and they don't grow. But we also have these unforeseen situations where babies suddenly grow. Was born yesterday, the following day he's preaching. Where is this coming from? Because they were a superstar in the world, they want to be a superstar in the church. God forbid. You know that even the Apostle Paul had to sit at the back of the church. Somebody had to take him away. Think that there's forced conversion. Because there's forced conversion, let's spend time in the Word to identify those who are truly born again. And as we know, those who are truly born again, they'll grow. Like those, the ground that is good, they have good hearts. They hear the word, they return it. The idea of returning is keeping and nurturing that the word may grow and produce fruit. I mean, think of it if you're a farmer and you have just planted your seed. And it germinates, and it's that high, then you go and tell the market, say, I've got a farm, there's a lot of maize there, please give me money, I want to sell. Is that the way we do it? There's also drought coming. Your maize may dry at that level, and there'll be no crop. We've seen that. Maybe the problem is because we have thrown away that important aspect known as discipleship. Nurturing one another in studying the scriptures. So that people can ask the relevant questions. How can I make it in my Christian walk because of this and that and that? But we are not allowing people to do that. So the Lord is actually telling his disciples, beware of false conversions. Don't very quickly say, we have so many people. No, spend time with them. Soon or later, the things that choke them will come. Among those things are the pleasures of the world. Among those things are the things that we do not have. Friends, the Bible is for our good. Let's go to it more and more so that we can know how to protect ourselves, so that we do not count the chicks before they are hatched. But thirdly, the Lord is also telling us that the results belong to him, not to us. The reason we rush for numbers are results. Say, oh, we have so many in our church, and I led so many people to the Lord. No. The crop that produced, the soil that produced the crop, took that process of growing and maturing and bearing the fruit that was expected. It is him who gives the growth. It is him who gives the results that we are looking for. And we know how results motivate us. Many times we have thrown away the Bible because of the results. Some people have whispered to some of us and say, Mamu naba nene fivale zitakuti. Na imamu kambe deliverance kuna waka fula wantu. Mawa pepena fie, mambu kubasunga kubapona pona, after 2 days, waka fula. Let's not rush for results. It is the Lord who is going to give the results. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. All other things will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. Friends, if you consider that, look at the generations that from the time the word of God came to us, by now Christianity would have been closed. But because all other things will pass away, the word of God will not pass away. Every generation, every time, the word of God stands out. And here we are, still preaching the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have heard what is known as remnants? It is when everybody else has gone that one thing is over, but there are few that have held on to the scriptures. And they are the ones that are known as the heroes. They held on to the truth. We know what I'm talking about here. This conference in some places would have been in a stadium. And that's when naturally that. It's not those. Is how are you holding on to the scriptures when everybody else is sending it away? That good soil was holding on to the seed and giving the seed what it needed to do so that the crop can grow and mature. If all other things will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away, friends, then we should remain firm on the word of God. We should be sure to say history has told us that the word of God has not failed. So even now, it won't fail. It should be our solid ground on which we stand. And as we stand on the word of God, we should be sure and committed to searching the scriptures. Not just rushing for results. How then can we apply this to our time? I just want to suggest to you a few things that we can do. Deliberately first of all, deliberately make it your habit to go to the scriptures. Just read something deliberately. We have heard many illustrations about Bibles in our homes that they are only dusted on a Sunday morning to go to church. If you want to hide something, put it in a Bible and put it in the house, no one will open it. Make it your habit to go to the Bible. Touch it. As you touch it, get convicted that you need to read it. Find time to say, I touched it, but I didn't read. Let me read. Just get there. Try. Make it personal. You shouldn't be like that, the roadside soil. Immediately the birds just take it away. No, deliberately return the word. You may ask yourself, what can the poor soil do? It is just soil. You know that soils change, eh? Just sand soil. Put in the grass and let it rot. There, it will be fertile. You can do something about it. We have nations in this world that are in deserts. There's no water, but they have farms. They irrigate them. They do something with the soil. Zambia boasts of so much water everywhere, particularly Kitwe. But we allow the water just to be passing. Do something deliberately, intentionally, as an individual. Get to the word of God. Be sincere as you go to the word of God that you want to learn something. As we come to the word of God, be open that you need to be instructed from the word of God. Then secondly, be aware of things that choke you. Be aware of things that get your neck to, why you not to breathe. The weeds that grow side to you. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about habits that we get used to. Some of those friends of ours are weeds. I remember in secondary school, the idea of being born again was something we enjoyed. I am born again. Then, soon or later, we were being mocked. Now, when we were born again, no. Yesterday you said you are born again. Then they began to call us about BA. Born again. It's something we rejoice in, but slowly, because of the friends, what they are saying. Some of you were being called pastors even before you became pastors. So, you are pastor something, eh? Can we choose friends? Those that will grow next to. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in giving another parable? He said, let the weeds also grow at the same time. Let them grow together, but there's going to be harvest time. But you deliberately choose who should be closer to you. Tell them, we look green together, but we are different. The places you go to, I cannot go to. The way you handle the scriptures, mine is this. Because your pastor friends are going to give you suggestions on how to make it in ministry. When we are planting, they are planting the seed. That's how come we have put up that building there. planting the seed. The seed, now I'm quako, oh, where will I go after retirement? Then you begin to say, I had a feeling that God is saying that we should begin to plant seeds. And then we'll be planting seed. By the way, the planting of seeds is not this text that we have read. Here it is the seed. Seeds is what the world is doing today. But think of things that will choke you, including books that you read. Most of the harm we saw on the screens yesterday that Peter showed us has to do with books, what people have written. And we know also the power of media. The moment you read it, it is in the book. It is in the book, yes. But who wrote the book? So choose your friends. Choose what to read. Choose what to nourish your spirit on. Choose which conference to attend. Okay, I won't say much on that one. But I mean, we have to say it.
Yes.
Not every meeting you hear, you are there, you'll be confused. Yes. It will choke you.
Yes.
You hear Sangabam International Ministries, because it's international, you go there. Then you hear Sangabam Nagash Ministries, you also go there. Then the Sangabam Youth, you'll be confused. Choose where to go, where your spirit will be nourished. And in closing, as we think through and are aware of false conversion, let's work hard in finding out what the Lord demands of us. Let's pray. Holy God and our Father in heaven, what a privilege and what an honor that we can be found in a group like this to go to the scriptures and just hear what you have for us. Our desire, O Lord in heaven, is that you may help us to put this word into practice and know how to live in this troubled and difficult world, that your name may be glorified in our lives. Guide us now, and that, Lord, for the rest of this day, we may know how to reflect on this, your word. This is our prayer, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.